get to more important things at hand. We are in our deeper series. So for those of you that may be joining us today for the first time in this Bible study class, what we do is we take our, we're in a sermon series right now that that we're preaching through on Sunday mornings called Experiencing the Touch of God. And so we're looking at events in the lives of key figures in the Bible. So we looked at, we saw Ezekiel, we saw Abraham, and this morning, in about an hour, we're going to look at Jacob. So what we do then the following week, which would be this time right now, is we come, we take that same topic that we discussed last week, but we look at it in a little bit deeper level. And sometimes we get some good feedback and some interaction as a group as we discuss it. So we did this with Luke, and it was pretty simple as we just took certain chunks of Scripture in Luke. It's a little bit different now as we're going through highlights in these Bible characters' lives. So I'm still learning and working through this, but I'm really looking forward to talking a little bit more about Abraham. To get you up to speed, 2 weeks ago was the last time we were together, so the message that was preached was about Abraham's struggle in offering his son Isaac on Mount Moriah as an offering. And if you remember, the message was geared around the idea that sometimes faith and reason are sometimes in conflict. Now, of course, by that, we do not mean that our faith is not a reasonable faith. We have reasons for what we believe, and it's based on truth and reason and wisdom. However, sometimes in our personal walk with God, God will ask us to do something, to take a step of faith that does not always seem reasonable. And that's what happened with Abraham in offering his son. But God worked in Abraham's life and showed him that he simply needed to trust God, not to depend on his own reasoning. I'm reminded of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Who knows Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's the hope. That's the essence of our walk with God. So today, I want to look again at Abraham, and I want to think, instead of just looking at that passage, where Abraham offered up his son Isaac, I want to give you some highlights over the life of Abraham. So you're going to need to turn your pages a lot this morning. Maybe have a pen ready to underline some things, to jot some things down. We'll begin with two scriptures that I put on your handout, and then I'm going to ask you to have your Bible open and ready in, let's say, two places. You're going to need to find the book of Genesis, and I'll start you in chapter 15, and you're also going to need to have the book of Galatians ready. So if you have a mark in your Bible, you want to be in Galatians, and you want to be in Genesis. Mike, did you get a handout? Do we have any left? Thanks. So find Galatians in the New Testament. Abraham is referred to as the father of our faith. And so we could spend weeks studying the life of Abraham, but we're going to do it in about 30 minutes. So get ready. Genesis, start in chapter 15. And then have a marker ready to go in Galatians around chapter number 4. Okay? Now, but first of all, let me direct your attention to the top of your handout. I've given you two passages of Scripture, James chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 41. So notice James 2:23. The Bible says, "And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God." Could you just say that, those three words with me together? Ready? Abraham believed God. Now look at this. "And it was counted to, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called," what's it say now? "The friend of God." There's a lot packed in that verse. Let's have a word of prayer and then I'll say a few things about it. Dear Lord, help us as we study the Bible today. Help it to be, I pray that you'd show us how relevant it is to our lives. Help us to make the application. We want to grow closer to you. Lord, I need your help as I speak this morning. Please help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Notice there's a lot packed in that verse, James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled. We don't have time to study James chapter 2, but it's actually talking about the passage we looked at last time, where Abraham offers his son Isaac as a sacrifice. For you to read James 2, James is saying, look at that event where, look at what Abraham was willing to do. He was willing to offer his son. He says, right then and there, it was fulfilled, the statement which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What I want you to understand as we begin is this, that Abraham is the father of our faith because his walk with God began, it began by simple faith in the promise of God. That's important. It didn't begin by his works. His faith, his relationship with God did not begin when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. That was the evidence, that was the proof that Abraham was a justified child of God, the friend of God. So what we see in the life of, what we're going to see in the life of Abraham was Abraham walked with God, he's the friend of God, and everything was bringing him to that point where he was prepared to that high point that we saw when we were together last time where he offered his son. But it was his walk of faith and his friendship with God that prepared him for that moment in life. And you and I, in the same way, we need to focus on our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And through a daily walk of friendship with God, we will be prepared for those crucial moments that the Lord leads us through in our lives. Look at Isaiah 41:8, also on your handout. This is a prophecy, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed, in other words, the offspring or the descendants of who? Abraham. Now, how is Abraham described? As what? My friend. Who's speaking there? God. Abraham is the only person in all of Scripture who is referred to that way. Until when? Until Jesus did what, Bill? He said, you're not my servants. You are my friends. Awesome, the opportunity. We're going to sing one of the songs that we're going to sing in the service later today is the old classic chorus, As the Deer. And the second verse of that chorus says, you're, speaking to Jesus, you're my friend and you are my brother even though you are a king. I don't have time to talk about all that, but that's true. Abraham was called the friend of God, and because of Jesus, you and I have been invited to have that same kind of relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the key concept I want us to see this morning is Abraham walking as a friend of God. So now, I want you to go back in your Bible to Genesis chapter 15, if you would do that with me, please. Genesis 15. We are about 4 chapters into the life of Abraham when we come to Genesis 15. It says in verse number 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. Now notice his name here. If you don't know this, his name is Abram. Okay? Now, it's going to be changed a little bit later on to Abraham. And that's going to have to do with the promise that God's going to give him. He starts out as Abram. He's going to later become Abraham. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, look at verse 2, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. So, do you understand what's happening here? Abram knows that he's got a, God said, God has already told him he's going to make a nation of him. But Abram is old. I mean, really old. And his wife is old. I mean, really old. Beyond the time where they can have children. And Abram is like, okay, God, I want to believe your promise. I want to believe your promise. I want to believe it, but I'm just having a hard time. And so maybe, so he's trying to figure things out on his own. He's trying to figure it out on his own. He's like, well, I have this servant in my house, and he's got a son, my head servant. Maybe I'll just like adopt that person, and that'll be the heir. You know, do you ever find yourself trying to orchestrate the will of God for your life? You ever do that? Like, this is, like, Lord, I could, Lord, maybe you could just, maybe you should just give me $10,000 more and that'll solve this problem. It's not enough. Charlie's praying for more, okay? Lord, well, maybe you could just give me that job instead of us just saying, Lord, in the words of Jesus, not my will be done, but thy will be done. I'll trust you, I'll follow you. Abraham's no different than you and I. And it's like, well, Lord, let's just make it work this way. But God gives him a promise. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Boy, God closed that door on him, didn't he? Boom! Door closed. I've been talking with some friends recently, and I've practiced the same thing in my life. And we've talked about how sometimes following the Lord is stepping out by faith and waiting for him to close doors, but being willing to listen. You know, you can make two mistakes in life. You can get out and run ahead of God's will, or you can just sit there and do nothing and wait for, you know, the bolt of lightning from the sky and the miracle to come in your mailbox saying this in some sign. No, it's a walk of faith. And in our walk, that implies, that necessitates, walking necessitates what? Movement, exactly. Walking necessitates movement. So, and now, of course, sometimes God says, stand still and hear my voice. I understand that. But you get the gist of what I'm saying. Sometimes we just need to take a step, and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. Close this door. I want to be obedient to you. So God closes the door on Abram in verse number 4. This shall not be thine heir. But look at the second part of it. Now God speaks in very clear, unambiguous terms. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And so God brings him forth abroad. And this is what God says to Abram. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. Now look at verse number 6. I have this underlined and starred in my Bible. For those of you that write in your Bible, Travis never writes in his Bible, right? It's a conviction of his, so I like to pick on him for that. But so he says here, Charlie, do you write in your Bible? No way. I do. So anyway, sorry, here we go. Verse number 6. All right, okay, don't judge me. Okay, here we go. Verse number 6. And he believed in the Lord. For those people who think that the Old Testament message is different than the New Testament message, that the Old Testament is all about works and law, and the New Testament is about grace, you totally missed it. Because here it says that Abram believed in the Lord, and he, that's God, counted it to him for righteousness. Does Abram, or do any of us have any righteousness that we can offer up to God? No, the Bible says we are all gone out of the way. We are all unprofitable, gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good, Romans 3, no, not one. We have no good deeds, no righteousness that we can offer God. But God does tell us something that we can offer him. And what is that? Yeah, faith, belief. And right here, God gives the promise to Abram that I have a plan and a purpose for you. And the Bible says, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and God counted that for righteousness. Romans chapter 4 teaches the same thing. Now what's amazing is in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, look, Abraham was justified without doing a thing simply by believing. And then James points to a different time in Abraham's life where he says, and then years later, he offers up his son, and he is again justified. In other words, the first time back in Genesis 15, he offers faith to God, and God says that's righteousness. And then in Genesis 22, he offers his son Isaac, and God again says, there's the proof. That's a justified man right there, because his faith led to demonstrable action. It was a genuine faith. But it began with faith. You cannot put works, and that's the problem with the religious systems of our day, even in quote-unquote Christianity. They teach that it is a combination of doing good and believing in Jesus. The Bible's very clear. It's the only thing that pleases God is our faith. And then out of that, the Holy Spirit produces good works in our life. That's the beginning. And chapter 15 of Genesis is the beginning of this friendship with God, of Abraham walking as a friend of God. But now here's what's amazing. The parallels that take place for Abraham and the life of every believer. For the rest of Abraham's life now, we are going to see two different walks demonstrated in his actions. In the life of Abraham, we are going to see two different ways that he walked. What do I mean by that? Well, look at the scriptures I want you to see. Look at, I put these on your handout too. Galatians chapter 4, look at this. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. If you're like, what is that talking about? Okay? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are sitting there like, I don't know this story. You know, I didn't grow up in Sunday school. It's okay. All right? I'm gonna explain this, but just listen to it. Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Now, notice the last five words. Which things are an allegory? Somebody help us out. What's an allegory? What's an allegory? Anybody? Yep. Okay. A story told that means something else. In other words, the elements of the story are representative of other truths. Okay? Like an allegory would be Pilgrim's Progress. Or the Chronicles of Narnia would be not purely allegorical, but heavily allegorical. There's symbolism in the story. Now, what the apostle is not saying in Galatians is that Abraham's life is just a story. It's a real event. But those real events have a deeper meaning for us today. And it all surrounds the two sons that Abraham has. Who can tell me, and if you don't know this, I'd encourage you to jot it down, who are the two sons of Abraham? Who would be the two sons? We saw one a couple of weeks ago, and that would be who? Isaac. Isaac, okay? So Isaac, in this passage of Galatians, would be the son, would he be the son born after the flesh, or the one of promise? Promise. So if you're trying to follow this, I would circle promise, put an arrow, and say that's Isaac. But then, he has another son. Who is the son of the flesh? I'm hearing like Esau and stuff. These patriarchs are hard to keep, it's Ishmael. It's Ishmael, okay? So, Ishmael is the son of the flesh. Isaac is the son of promise. Now, that's in Galatians chapter 4. Why in the world in Galatians chapter 4 is Abraham and the two sons being talked about? Well, because by the time you study all of it, you come to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, which I have on the back side of your handout. You come to Galatians 5, 16, and Paul says this. This I say then, walk in the what? Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Abraham pictures for us the choice that you and I have as believers. We're going to see in the next 15 minutes that we have left, is Abraham's life demonstrates the option that you and I have as believers. We're saved by grace. Is there anything that can, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith, is there anything that can sever that relationship with God? Nothing. We are His, we are secure, we are saved by grace through faith. However, we are given now the freedom in Christ to either walk in the Spirit or to walk after our own flesh, our own desires. And so you, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you have experienced the desire of the Spirit to follow Christ, but the pull of your flesh to trust yourself, to go with your instincts, to please your body. Or am I the only one that's experienced that? You have, right? That's the struggle of the believer. Will I walk after the Spirit or will I walk after the flesh? And the Apostle Paul in Galatians says, look back at Abraham. Abraham and his two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, they give us a living demonstration of what it means to walk either after the flesh or after the Spirit. So, we've got Hagar, that's the mother of Ishmael. But then we have, it shouldn't say Rebecca there. It should say Sarah. So, sorry, I messed up these patriarchs and their wives too. Cross out Rebecca. It's not Rebecca. It's Sarah. So, sorry. Hagar and Ishmael, Sarah and Isaac. Now, so let's see this. The walk in the flesh. What does this mean? How does the story show it? Now, verse 16, chapter number 1. I need to reset myself. Chapter 16, verse number 1. Here we go. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, what's it say? Bear him no children. So some of you are turning back there. Go ahead, now is where we're going to move quickly through some passages in Genesis. Chapter 16 of Genesis, verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bear him no children. Okay, that's sad. But what's the big problem for Abram? Why is this an especially difficult problem for Abram? Yeah, he was promised a child from his own bowels. In other words, it wouldn't be an adoption. It would be he would conceive a child, and that child would be his son and his heir. But his wife is old. Now remember, back in chapter 15, he thought he had this figured out. And he's like, okay, it'll be the one born to my servant in my house. And God says, no, it's got to come from yourself. Well, now what's going to happen, what we're going to see, if you want to jot a couple of things down about the walk in the flesh, we're going to see that now Abram's going to try to follow God's plan on his own terms. Abram thinks he can claim the promise of God on a technicality. Look what he does. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. This would be, we read these things and they sound like bizarre and absurd to us in our 21st century mind, although our 21st century has a lot of things that would seem quite bizarre and absurd to their generation as well. So let's not be too hasty to judge their cultural understandings, given our own scenario. However, the custom of the day, so Sarah's thinking, well, I can't give Abraham a son. So I have this servant girl, and so I will give this servant girl to my husband. They will have relations, and then that son will technically be ours. It'll be ours. And so what's happened now is Abraham and Sarah, they want the promise of God. They want the blessing of God. Sound like you or me? Do we want the blessing of God? Of course we do. They want the blessing of God, but they've fallen back into trying to take it into their own hands. God's plan on our... Sometimes if we walk in the flesh, we want God's best for us, but we want it on our terms. I've heard it explained this way. Some people's prayer requests to God are more like a list of their own plans than they say, God, I'd like you to sign this for me. I heard somebody say that, and I thought, isn't that what we do? Anybody ever found themselves in that? Or in what ways do we do that? Anybody want to help me out? How do we take God's, we want God's plan, but we take that into our own hands? Yes. The Lord doesn't use chain letters. Okay. You know what? And but people do that. So that is, I'm glad you gave that example. And that's a bit of an extreme example. But there is that. If you're on Facebook, like and share and post and God's blessing will come to you. Or in the old days, the televangelists would say, give us, you know, send your seed money in and then God will pour out a blessing in your life. That reduces the sovereign God to really an idol of our own making who gives us what we want. And who does that really make God in our mind? Who becomes God then? We do. We become God because we want the blessings of God, but God first desires that we want Him, and then the blessings follow. So when you walk in the flesh, you'll start to view God for what He can do for you rather than your relationship with Him being enough. The ultimate example of somebody who got it right would be Job. You read the story of Job. God allowed everything to be taken out of Job's life. And Job would not curse God. The Lord giveth, He taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. He surrendered. He's obedient. So we take God's plan into our own hands, and then we listen. Here's another mark of not just taking God's plan in our own terms, but here's another mark of a walk in the flesh. Sometimes we listen to the wrong advice. Whose advice is Abram about to listen to? His wife. Gentlemen, this is the one exception to the rule of always listening to your wife, all right? So I'm just going to be safe. Did I get that right, ladies? Okay? We'll make this one exception right here where Abram should not have listened to his wife. Otherwise, standard instruction is do what your wife says. Anyway, moving right along. Seriously, though, in all seriousness, Sarah is someone close to Abram. Sarah is someone who loves Abram. Sarah is someone who knows Abram. Sarah's got a pretty good track record. But Sarah is not the Holy Spirit. Be very careful. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. We need good people to speak into our lives. But when it all comes down to the decision that you and I make, we will not answer to our spouse. We will not answer to a pastor. We will not answer to our friends or our counselor or our therapist or our this or that. We will answer to God. And we are called to be led by the Holy Spirit. When you're walking in the flesh, when you're walking in the flesh, you're going to take advice from people who are walking in the flesh as well. At this point, Sarah was not trusting the Lord. Abram was not trusting the Lord. They're taking it into their own hands. Be careful whose advice you listen to. And then finally, if you don't know the story, Abram does it. And Hagar conceives, and Ishmael is born. I can't tell you the whole story, but I can tell you this. The last thing I'll have you jot down in this walk in the flesh is walking in the flesh will complicate your life. It will complicate your life. Nothing good in the immediate term would come from Hagar and Ishmael. Now, eventually, God would see Hagar and Ishmael, and God would have a separate blessing for them. That's missed in a lot of teaching today. People talk about the Arab nations and all this stuff, but God does give a blessing to Hagar and Ishmael. Okay, that's important to note. However, in the life of Abram and Sarah, they step out of the will of God, they walk by their own flesh, their own mind, their own reasoning, and guess what happens? Relationship turmoil, disharmony in the home, distrust, hurt, pain, difficulty. Boy, we live in such a messy, complicated world today, don't we? Relationships are just confused. We're confused about, we are literally confused about our own gender and sexuality. We're confused about marriage. We're confused about raising children. We're confused about how husbands and wives relate to each other. We are just in a confused world. Well, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, the Word of God brings clarity, direction, and peace to our lives. There's a lot of people running around saying, boy, I wish my life wasn't so complicated. Well, you know what? Sometimes we need to take personal responsibility and say, you know what? I made these choices to do my own thing. I stepped out of the will of God. Now, thankfully, there's grace to come home. That's what we're going to preach in a little while today. There's grace to come home and make it right. But you want to complicate your life. We've got a lot of young children downstairs right now and in our youth group. Listen, for your family, for your kids, you want to see complication come into their life? Get them, elevate sport and recreation above the things of God. Elevate pleasure and vacation above the things of God. And watch complication come into their life and turmoil. Okay, I just went off on a tangent. Back. The opposite, though, is that there is a walk in the Spirit. Now, I got to show you. Abram gets it right. He gets it right. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so he's 99 years old, the Lord appears and says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God said unto him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall by thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. He goes from being Abram to Abraham. It's a slight difference in his name. By the way, his name was funny enough as it was. Because for 99 years, he would walk around, say, hi there, let me introduce myself. I'm the father of many. Be like, oh, well, let me meet your children. Oh, well, let's not talk about that. He doesn't have any children, but that's what his name means, a great father. Still doesn't have any children, except for Ishmael. But now God comes back and says, listen, my promise, you're 99 years old, but my promise today is still here for you for tomorrow. At 99 years old, now your name is Abraham, a father of a great multitude. Now the introductions are even more awkward. But he took that name now, and he's claimed the promises of God. When you walk in the Spirit, we understand that we can have confidence today in the promise of tomorrow. We have confidence today in the promise that God has tomorrow. What would take place? Well, there's a few things. Look at verse number 9. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. Now, what's interesting here is verse number 23, and Abraham took Ishmael his son and all that were born in his house and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Okay, you're like, why are you reading this weird stuff to us right now? Okay? Here's why. God said, I'm going to give you a physical sign of the covenant that I'm making with you. You will be my covenant people. I've made a promise to you. I'm going to give you this physical sign of that covenant. There's a principle we learn here about walking in the Spirit, and that is the principle of obedience. Abraham could have said, well, that seems I don't know about that. I mean, I'm 99 years old. I'm not real comfortable doing this. Do I really need to do that? But he obeys God. He just, at this point now, he's walking by faith. He says, God, if that is your desire, I'm going to do it. Now, what is the application for our walk in the Spirit? It's simply this. It's not just feeling and emotion. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm walking with you. No, sometimes it's simple, practical obedience to what God wants us to do. And just saying, okay, you want me to go there? I'll obey. You want me to give? I'll give. You want me to serve? I'll serve. I will obey. The old hymn, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You can't walk in the Spirit and disobey the commands of the Bible. You can't do it. That's not a message of legalism. That's a message of walking in the grace that teaches us to be holy. That you cannot walk with God in the Spirit and disobey the Word of God. And by doing that, the next thing about it is God will overcome doubts. If you read the story, Sarah has her doubts. They send the angels come and say, you're going to have a son. Sarah laughs. She doubts. But God is patient with them. You're not going to get it right every time as we walk with God. We're not going to get it right every single time. But God will work with us through our doubts, help us to overcome them, and then we'll receive the promise. Verse 1 of chapter 21 now. Let's wrap it up. Chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Isaac's name, who knows what it means? What's it mean? Go ahead. Laughter. And oh, the laughter and the joy. They believed God. His promise came through. Now, I've got more than I have time to talk about, but if you take time maybe this afternoon or tonight and go to Galatians and read how the Apostle Paul explains this to us, the principle is this. The Spirit always defeats the flesh. Always. And what you'll find there is there's basically a three-step walk. It begins with trusting God, yielding to His will, and obeying His word. Trust God, yield to His will, and obey His word. That's the principle that we learn in Abram's life. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches us through their story, and you find that unpacked in Galatians. So thank you for being with me in this morning. I'm going to try to get these more interactive again. Previously this was a very interactive class. I feel like I'm just preaching an extra sermon to you now, but there's a lot packed in there. It's good stuff. So work with me. We'll get back to some more interaction as we move forward. But learn the lessons from the life of Abraham and walk in the Spirit, the apostle says, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the life of Abraham, that we can read about this so many thousands of years later. And you, Lord, desire to have the same relationship with us that you had with them. We thank you for that. And now we ask that you'd bless our worship service in the next few minutes, help our voices to sing joyfully to you, help our hearts to worship you. I pray for the preaching, that it would speak to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're dismissed for about 15 minutes, and we'll be back.